Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Tuesday, February 17th, and I'm Nat Cardos reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, a winter storm weather update, 50501 protests in Eureka canceled, upcoming protests on Sunday for Palestine Week of Action, and an armed robbery investigation underway in Hoopa. So stay tuned, those stories and more coming up.
Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Tsingkyon, Wailaki, Wiat, Wilkut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection these tribes have to this region.
A major winter storm is currently impacting both Humboldt and Mendocino counties, which is expected to last through Wednesday. Last night, some higher elevation areas around 2,000 to 2,500 feet and even as low as 1,500 feet saw some snow, and lower elevation areas could see some tonight. KMUD News spoke with James White, a meteorologist at the National Weather Service in Eureka, for more information about the storm.
Snow built in late last night and has continued today through the morning. It's just finally starting to peter off, but we have these weaker showers. You know, we had snow as low as around 1,500 feet or so, but at that elevation is pretty light. Higher up around 2,000 feet or so, where a lot of our highway passes are, like Berry Summit over from Eureka to Willow Creek or Collier Tunnel up in Del Norte, all those places got around a foot of snow or so thereabouts, you know, a little bit lower down, you know, you get closer to 6 inches as you get closer to 1,500 feet, and you'll get over a foot of snow at those very high upper elevations that we haven't. There aren't too many people up at those high elevations at the moment, so we haven't gotten too many hard numbers yet. And then at the lower elevations, even at the valley bottoms, which usually stay snow-free, like Willow Creek, Hoopa, Oberon, Weaverville, we've seen anywhere from 1 to 3 or 4 inches or so, depending on where you're at.
Aside from snow and higher elevations, lower elevations have been seeing both hail and rain. Areas like Humboldt Bay have seen almost an inch of rain, while higher elevations are harder to determine and could be anywhere from 6/10 to an inch to a little over an inch of rain. White elaborates further.
So in the past 24 hours or so, we've gotten here at the lower elevations right along the coast have been about 6 to 8 tenths of an inch. And you go up here, upper elevations where rain has fallen instead of snow, we've gotten a little bit over an inch. So the automated gauges, you have to take it with a grain of salt because we can't measure snow. So anything that's fallen as snow, we don't know. But yeah, anywhere from 6 tenths of an inch to a little bit over an inch, depending where you're at.
During a storm like this, it's important to remember to take it slow when traveling and keep an eye on road conditions. If driving in higher elevations, make sure you have some chains for your tires in case road conditions worsen. Road condition updates can be found on the Caltrans website, dot.ca.gov.
Yeah, you know, that's really the biggest impacts with these kind of winter events is if you are driving around. Obviously, if you're traveling over any of those mountain passes, it's snow. You know, Caltrans gets roads cleared pretty quick, but we're going to continue to have showers producing snow through early tomorrow, so carry chains if you're having to do that or delay travel. The biggest impact, really, though, has been as these showers first move on shore, even though we don't get snow here at the coast, we've been getting a lot of hail, a lot of accumulating small hail around Humboldt Bay, and even in some of our interior valley locations like Willits and locations like that. We've seen a very large uptick in car accidents. So, you know, if you encounter any of those small hail storms, the best thing to do is just stop, slow down, wait for it to pass, and really just don't be out even on the road if you can avoid it for the next day or so. We're going to be stuck in this winter pattern for a while, so although, you know, this is going to wind down tomorrow and then we'll have some calmer weather Thursday, Friday, there's pretty high confidence we're going to have another round of winter weather and storm activity this weekend. So stay in that kind of winter weather mindset.
For those in lower elevations who may want to drive out to see the snow, be sure to keep an eye on road conditions and travel safely. White gives some tips on how to keep yourself and others safe when going out to see the snow.
You know, of course, always encourage people once it's safe, especially once things calm down after tomorrow, go out and enjoy it while it's there. The big thing is, you know, make sure that you're clear from the road. A lot of people just drive up to, like, Lordell Summit here, just east of Eureka, and they park on the side of the road. And I think it always creates kind of a danger situation. There always ends up Caltrans tries to close the medians there because there's too many people bunching up, and it creates a risk for car accidents. So just, you know, don't clog up the main highways. And if you do want to see it and get off-road a little bit, make sure you have chains and you're prepared for that.
For more information, the website is weather.gov/EKA/. KMUD News will continue to provide updates as the storm progresses. A protest was scheduled today to call for the impeachment of President Donald Trump and other members of his administration planned for outside of the Eureka courthouse was canceled due to weather conditions. The protest was organized by Humboldt 50501, Students for a Democratic Society, Humboldt Young Democratic Socialists of America, and the Humboldt Anti-War Committee. KMA News spoke with Regional Coordinator for 50501 for Humboldt County, AJ, for more information on the event. Due to safety concerns, AJ did not give their last name for the interview.
It is officially canceled, even though, you know, it is nice, bright, and sunny now. We don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know. There's going to be another freak hail storm, more electrical storms, and overall, it's just really cold. So we are not having our event. We can't stop people from showing up, but we won't be there officially. But today's event was the 5051 National Impeach Trump Day, where we protesting and calling our representatives, trying to voice our support for the impeachment of everyone in the Trump administration, Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, Pete Hegseth, Kristi Noem, Pam Bondi, Stephen Miller, Marco Rubio, RFK.
The protest is for National Day of Lobbying, where 50501 regional groups are calling for the impeachment, conviction, and removal of the Trump administration, as well as for defunding ICE. This protest would have been one of several across the country occurring today. 50501 is still looking for individuals to protest in other forms where they won't have to brave the weather.
We are asking people if they would like to still participate in today's action to, in lieu of attending the protest, contact their representatives. It's in the press release that we sent out. Alex Padilla, Adam Schiff, and Jared Huffman. Call your representatives, email your representatives, send a letter to your representatives telling them that we don't want ICE, we want Trump out of office.
50501 will be holding another protest this weekend on Sunday for Palestine Week of Action. The protest will be held outside of the Eureka Courthouse on the 22nd from noon to 2 p.m. Following the protest, there will also be a film screening at the Eureka Labor Temple at 5 p.m. Yesterday, at approximately 10:50 p.m., Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, HCSO, deputies responded to a report of an armed robbery that occurred at the Coast Central Credit Union in Hoopa. A female victim reported that she was robbed while attempting to make a night deposit and that a brief struggle occurred before the suspect fled. KMA News spoke with HCSO's Public Information Officer, Aaron Inskip, for more information on the incident.
On February 16th at approximately 10:50 p.m., Humboldt County Sheriff's deputies were dispatched to an armed robbery that occurred at the Coast Central Credit Union located at 12700 State Highway 96 in Hoopa. Upon arrival, deputies met with a 44-year-old female victim who reported that she was robbed while attempting to make a night deposit. The victim stated that a male suspect approached her while brandishing a handgun and demanded money. A brief struggle over the deposit occurred before the suspect grabbed two bank bags and fled on foot towards the river bar. The suspect is described as a male adult in his 30s, approximately 6'1", 170 pounds, clean shaven, brown hair with a light complexion. He was last seen wearing a black sweater, black pants, light brown boots, and a black bandana covering his face. The victim sustained a minor injury to her arm, which did not require immediate medical attention. Deputies were assisted by the Hoopa Tribal Police. They thoroughly searched the area for the suspect, but were unable to locate him. Surveillance camera footage is currently being collected and reviewed. Any additional information will be released as soon as it becomes available.
This case is still currently under investigation, and HCSO encourages anyone with information about this case or related criminal activity to call them at 707-445-7251 or the crime tip line at 707-269-2539. Turning to Mendocino, the return of gray whales will kick off Whale Fest across the Mendocino coast in March. During the month of March, the Noyo Center for Marine Science in Fort Bragg, as well as many other groups across the Mendocino coast, will be celebrating the 42nd annual Whale Fest. The Science Center has been participating in the yearly festival since the center's inception 11 years ago, and will be hosting a series of talks, a book signing, and more. KMA News spoke with the development director of the Noyo Center for Marine Science, Katerina Audley, for more information on the event.
I know that Noyo Center has been participating in the Whale Fest for the 11 years that it's been existing. And the Whale Fest was originally conceived to be an event that celebrates the return of the gray whale from their calving grounds down in Baja. And they pass along our coast and as they're heading up to the Arctic to their feeding grounds. So the community here in Mendocino has always celebrated their return as we see them very close offshore. And we'll see them kelping living in the kelp forests and protecting their calves against the orcas that are offshore and might be wanting to attack them. So it's something that we really celebrate around here in Mendocino, and the NOIO Center for Marine Science brings some science element into that and helps people to know more about whales, to get more connected to them. And then we have a lot of events around whales that go along with the Whale Fest.
There will be events every weekend during the month of March for the fest in Fort Bragg, one of them being a series of talks organized by the center with different professionals in the field of marine biology from across California. The series is called the Whale Migration Challenge. Here's Audley with more.
So I'm doing something called a Whale Migration Challenge this year with NOIO Center, and it's to celebrate the amazing 12,000-mile round-trip journey that gray whales take from the Arctic all the way down to Baja and back each year. So we're working to raise $12,000 with a dollar a mile. And what I'm doing along the way is each week I'll be bringing in an expert, any expert, to talk about gray whales and their different places along the path. And so we're starting on March 3rd with a Zoom and then a field station viewing party where people will, someone will be presenting named Diane Alps about gray whales in Baja. And that's the lagoons in Baja Down where people can go and kiss and touch gray whales, and they have a friendly relationship with the boats. Then we'll have a very extraordinary person from Southern California, again doing a Zoom with a live viewing party in the field station with a girl named Elisa Schulman Janiger. And she has very extraordinary pictures of gray whales. And she's been running a census and study of gray whales down in Southern California for over 40 years, I think. It might be 25, might be 40. Need to fact check that. Then we have Jody Frediani coming. And she will be here on March 21st to sign a book and then give a talk. And Jody is an award-winning photographer. And so she'll be here in person giving a talk about Monterey with a focus on gray whales, but talking about all of the creatures around Monterey. And then we'll wrap it on March 26th with a Get Down with the Locals gathering. And this will be kind of a cetacean lovers social. So instead of it being a sit down talk, we have a number of very experienced gray whale experts in our area. So we're inviting a number of experts who have been studying gray whales to come together to the field station, and there will be food and drinks, and there will be informal sharing by this different group of experts about gray whales. So it's an opportunity for people in our community to come and learn about whales locally, meet the local people who study them, and learn about what whales do when they're here in Mendocino.
There will also be events hosted at their different interpretive centers. The center has two different interpretive centers, the Crow's Nest and the Downtown Discovery Center. There's also future plans for the NOIO Center to get a marine science campus.
The Crow's Nest is an interpretive center. We have three centers at NOIO Center for Marine Science, and the Crow's Nest is a little outpost out on the headlands of the NOIO headlands in front of Fort Bragg where there are docents. And it's a rich little space full of information and some marine mammal skeletons where people can come when they're walking along the headlands and learn about the marine wildlife and the marine environment along the way. Discovery Center, and that's in downtown Fort Bragg, and that's where we have the largest orca skeleton in the world. There's an immersion dome that you walk inside, and there's 360 movies playing, and we'll have a new movie about humpback whales up for that month. So there's a bunch of shorts, and people can kind of go and be immersed in the sea without having to actually go to sea. The Discovery Center, the main things that are going to be happening there will be, in addition to Jody Frediani's book signing on March 21st, we've got Jeff Jacobson coming down from Arcata, and he is an acoustic specialist. So he'll be playing the sounds of humpback whales in the Discovery Center on March 22nd during the afternoon. And then on March 28th, we're doing a program that I'm pretty excited about where we're partnering with some local high school kids and Flockworks to do an opportunity for people to make a piece of art around a whale tail. So we're talking humpback whales now. Humpback whale tails are very unique, like your thumbprint. It's how we know them. And we've been going whale watching with these kids, and they've gotten out and gotten to know some pretty special whales. So they've been inspired to make art about them. So now we're going to be inviting people to come over to the Discovery Center, learn about individual whale tails, make art pieces about them, and our education team will be teaching people about it. So it's kind of a fun opportunity to do art and science and learn all about whale tails by a hands-on experience.
The NOAA Center for Marine Science was founded in 2002 with the mission of advancing ocean conservation. They serve students with field trips and classroom education and host visitors to learn more about marine life and ocean stewardship. Audley elaborates more on what they do.
So we're 11 years old, and the NOAA Center for Marine Science is a place whose mission is to advance ocean conservation through education, exploration, and experience. And so one piece of our programming is we do education, which ranges from taking kids out to sea, doing field trips. We'll be hosting field trips all week of March 21st. I think it's March 16th to 20th. We've still got plenty of room for schools to sign up and come through the field station, which is our place down in the harbor, and do a deep dive into whale science and learn all about kelp and the ocean and marine biology with our team. So we have this whole education program. We've got summer camps and then continuous education programs, like some of the ones that I shared with you. Then we also have a whole side that's, we do marine mammal stranding work. And so when an animal washes up anywhere between Galala and Westport, our team goes out and responds to the animal and collects information about it. And sometimes they'll collect the skeleton and learn about it. And we partner with the Cal Academy of Sciences and the Marine Mammal Center, Cal Poly Humboldt, and others to learn and study about what's going on with the marine mammals in our area. In addition to the marine mammal work that we do, we also have been very active in working to find ways to bring back the kelp forests. And so our work includes doing regenerative aquaculture. We're working to find ways to eradicate the purple urchin overpopulation that has decimated our kelp forests. We are getting ready to begin doing abalone restoration work. And all of this is going to be very important in terms of helping to bring our kelp forests back to health. And ultimately, we'd love to be participating in sunflower sea star work as well, which is so important to bring our kelp forest back to health.
The center represents the marine science aspect of the festival, though there are also events planned by other organizations like a downtown wine walk, chowder tasting competition, and more. A schedule for Whale Fest events can be found at visitmendocino.com/Mendocino/coast/whalefest/2026. More information about the NOAA Center for Marine Science can be found at noaacenter.org. In state news, attorneys and families struggle to find hospitalized ICE detainees, Public News Service's Suzanne Potter reports.
Immigrants' rights advocates are speaking out, warning that ICE agents sometimes prevent detainees in the hospital from speaking privately to attorneys or family. According to reporting from KFF Health News, hospitals often defer to ICE and use blackout procedures normally reserved for criminal defendants, even though immigration violations are a civil matter. Attorney Viridiana Chaboya with the Immigrant Defenders Law Center says this was the case with her client Julio Cesar Pena, who was picked up by ICE. He has terminal kidney disease, had a mini stroke, and landed in the hospital.
Mr. Pena was not allowed to tell us where he was. He was instructed to avoid talking about his location and was warned that if he so much as hinted as to his location, then he would be barred from calling either his family or his attorney.
Hospitals say they are trying to protect the safety and privacy of patients, staff, and law enforcement officials. ICE declined to comment, but its own guidelines say people in custody should be given access to a telephone, visits from family and friends, and private consultation with legal counsel. Attorney Xiuming Chir with the California Immigrant Policy Center says family members and attorneys should be able to speak with patients privately and should be allowed to fill doctors in on the patient's health conditions and medications.
People should not be denied any access to their family members, to their attorneys. The lack of visitation and lack of information just add to the heightened stress. And it's really critical for people in that situation to have contact with their attorneys so that they know what their rights are.
The Los Angeles County Department of Health is drafting a policy for county-run hospitals that would explicitly state that blackout procedures do not apply to people under immigration custody. They would also reaffirm the right to visitation and instruct personnel about discharge planning for people in immigration custody. This story was produced with original reporting from Claudia Boyd Barrett for KFF Health News. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
In national news, judge blocks Pentagon censure of Senator Kelly over video on not following unlawful military orders, KPFA's Christopher Martinez reports.
Democratic Senator Mark Kelly, a former Navy pilot, joined five other Democratic lawmakers and veterans last November to make a video urging troops to uphold the Constitution and not to follow unlawful military orders from the Trump administration. When Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth announced a censure in January, Kelly sued in federal court. After Thursday's court order, Kelly said the court made it clear Hegseth violated the Constitution.
Now, this is a critical moment to show this administration that they can't keep undermining the freedoms that generations of Americans like me went to war to defend. The First Amendment, it's a foundation of our democracy. It's how we demand better of presidents like Donald Trump.
Kelly posted his response on the social media site X, saying he appreciated the clarity of the judge's ruling, but he also vowed to keep on fighting.
But I also know that this might not be over yet because this president and this administration do not know how to admit when they're wrong.
Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.
In National Native News, Antonia Gonzalez reads today's headlines.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. As immigration enforcement actions continue across the country, Indigenous people are increasingly concerned they're being targeted by ICE, and some have been detained. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Daniel Spalding has more.
On the morning of December 5th, Shailin Allen received a panicked phone call from Jose Joaquin Sanchez Alvarado, the father of her children. Alvarado was driving from his home in Meridian, Idaho, to pick up their 10-year-old son to take him to school. Suddenly, he was surrounded by police.
He called me from inside the car and he's like, I think they're taking me. And he was just like, I'm pretty sure they're detaining me.
Allen is a member of the Shoshone Paiute tribe in Idaho and Nevada. Alvarado, who is undocumented and not a tribal member, came to the United States from Mexico when he was just 11 years old.
He doesn't have a criminal record. I don't even know why they're really targeting him.
Alvarado is now being held in an ICE detention facility near Las Vegas. As ICE ramps up operations across the country, that fear is widespread in Native communities. Despite being U.S. citizens and members of sovereign tribal nations, Indigenous people are increasingly being questioned and in some cases detained by immigration agents. In January, Peter Yazzie, an enrolled member of the Navajo Nation, was detained by ICE in Phoenix before being released later that day.
We are the first people of this country and our citizenship should never be questioned or challenged by anyone.
That's Crystalline Curley, the speaker of the Navajo Nation Council. In January, the council passed legislation calling on ICE to formally recognize Navajo Nation identification documents. Many tribes across the country are urging their citizens to carry tribal IDs at all times. In January, the Native American Rights Fund, or NARF, hosted a Know Your Rights webinar. Over 1,000 people attended. Beth Wright is a senior staff attorney at NARF and a member of the Pueblo of Laguna.
I think there's a lot of concern about what to do if tribal citizens are stopped by ICE and what their rights are in different encounters with ICE. I think one of the important messages to convey is that tribal citizens are citizens of the United States.
But many Native parents are worried that their tribal IDs won't be enough. Eva Flores is a member of the Pascua-Yaqui tribe in Arizona. She lives in Caldwell, Idaho.
You know, I fear for my kids to go out, even just to school or activities, not knowing if, you know, they're coming home or they're going to be picked up.
In a statement, the Department of Homeland Security said its agents are trained to determine a person's immigration status and whether they are subject to removal. As tribal leaders call on federal authorities to respect tribal sovereignty, parents like Shailin Allen are focused on protecting their children.
We don't need ICE on our street. They're only terrorizing brown people, and it's not doing any good. They're violating constitutional rights. They're killing people.
I'm Daniel Spalding.
The annual Indigenous Hoop Dancing Championships were held over the weekend, returning to the Heard Museum in Phoenix. As KJZZ's Gabriel Pietrazio reports, the reigning title holder made history by defending his crown once more.
A two-point difference. 214 points, Josiah Enriquez.
The three-peat adult division champ, who is Navajo and from the pueblos of Isleta and Pewaukee in New Mexico, made history Sunday night. His victory marks a very rare feat no one else has achieved, except the sport's most decorated dancer 3 decades ago. Arizona's Derek Suwaima Davis, who is Hopi and Choctaw, won 3 of his record-setting 7 world titles in a row between 1996 and 1998. For National Native News, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Katie Phillips, and thanks to our reporters, Suzanne Potter, Christopher Martinez, and Antonia Gonzalez. KMUD News is online, and you can find us on KMUD.org and now streaming on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, where you can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening during your rural commutes. You can also follow us on social media. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Redwood Community Radio, Inc. is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Reporting for KMUD, I'm Nat Cardos.